The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. It's the 30th of January, 2024. And John's here. It's a Tuesday. Johnny Tuesday. You're right, John.
How about how you doing?
All right, yes. There were lots of news out today. The market's perking up. Yeah, and a lot of volume there. And, people are getting a bit more excited, I think, about the market. In fact, we're looking at the AIM All Share chart, but it's looking quite good. But before we do that, let's have a quick gander at the old markets. Oh, don't want that bit. There's the Zoom thing. But all green on the screen there. Looking good. FTSE 100 up 0.5%. Yeah, that's the big riser there. 3i Group. That's been a cracking performer, that. Of all the sort of, well, it's not an asset manager, but it's one of them. But I mean, that's just been top right. 250, up 0.5%. FTSE 350, 0.45. AIM, it's up a smidge, but it's up. It's all green. 3i, Rolls Royce, Auto Trader, Flutter, Entertainment. What is, isn't Flutter, who do they own?
Paddy Power.
They're listing on the New York Stock Exchange, aren't they?
Yeah, they're talking about moving their listing, yeah.
They're moving.
Primary listed, yeah, to the US, which is where most of their business is now. You know, that's what these companies are becoming.
Okay, turncoats. Barclays, Ashted, upgrade from Ashted. Let's look at the fallers here. Diageo, of course, one of these sort of fund managers, dream plays, a lot of them have it. They're down, not a lot, 3%, but it's a big company, and interim results of the day. I think there was a bit of a hole in their sort of Latin American play. Did you read that at all, John, or not?
Diageo? I did, yeah. It's you've basically got some very poor trading in South America and the Caribbean. And US consumers are trading down to cheaper brands. So it's a perfect storm, they describe it as.
Yeah. Perfect storm. Do you know what, though? I'm thinking, you know, I've often said, you know, a couple of times that do not jump on falling knives. They don't work, and generally they don't. Every now and again, though, you have an exception. And we had an exception. Because I remember coming on here several times and just talking about the woeful news coming out of Helium One. Literally technical problem after technical problem. Mm. And the share price absolutely tanked. And in fact, let's look at the chart there. It absolutely tanked a day away. It's now, if you'd have jumped in all the way down here, in fact, look at that. It's come from, let me just move this, set my heads. Look at that, it's come from 10 pence. And it went down to what? You couldn't even see it on the chart. Literally, that's how far it went down. But a lot of people jumped in right at the bottom here. And this is going to be one of the best recoveries ever on AIM. Because look at that.
Well, it's not a recovery, is it? I mean, it's...
It has recovered because they literally weren't actually getting any success in the drilling. So, operationally, it's recovered. Well, I mean, let's talk about the broad church.
There's a long way, I would say, there's a long way to go before you just call this a recovery play.
Well, that's a
bounce based on the sudden bit of investor enthusiasm.
Yes, but it's a 10-bagger. Technical
a fraction of pence.
Yes, yeah, it's a 10-bagger. I know. Listen, it's not the kind of play I'd make at all. And let's be honest,
you're not going to put your life savings into a penny share and hope for 10 bags.
Yeah, but you don't have to. That's the thing. It's all about risk reward, isn't it? Do you know what? Mm. On my Fantasy Stocks and Shares site, a few people went into this. One guy put 14 grand, pretend money, of course, into this, the lows, and he got like 170 grand now. Dude, so it's like
fantasy,
you know,
fantasy being the operative word.
Yeah.
You know, who really is going to go out? I mean, some people must have done because the price has bounced, but yeah. You suspect there's a bit of market makers playing catch up here.
Yeah, but this is also where people lose money, you see. Because, I mean, it was like, it started this morning, it was like a 50 million market cap. What? 50 million now? That's nuts.
It's nuts when you look at the financials.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the thing is, if anyone is, you know, didn't get too greedy and put a stop loss in, they could have made a lot of money on that, on a technical bounce. That's one of the falling knife trades that has worked out. But having said that, you often get, I'm talking about proper businesses now. This, you know, they're drilling in Africa or something. But proper businesses that fundamentally, you know, have had a hit, taken a hit, and in fact, Diageo is one of them. You know, we've seen JD Sports another. Recovery plays can be quite good, but
we haven't seen the recovery in Diageo yet.
No. Exactly.
We haven't seen the recovery in JD Sports yet.
No, that's what I'm saying. So what you need to do on those is literally monitor, be patient, monitor, and that's all you can do. Because if you jump in too soon, because we know bad news, you know, doesn't stand on its own, doesn't come out on its own. It tends to come out, you know, in twos and threes and fours. Did you see that thing yesterday? Actually, there was the amount of profits warnings announced, and we did that on yesterday's show, was at an all-time high. And I think it was like of the companies, you know, announced profit warnings, they announced three or more in a row. I can't remember what percentage it was. But that's it. So you get a trading update that says it's not good, guys. Then you get the actual, you know, report, which is the interims or the full year report, which say it's still not good. This is it, what's it all. So it goes down again. And then you maybe get a trading update then said maybe it's stabilizing or it's not. And it goes down. So you have to wait, you know, a good year or so, I think, before you get a good recovery sometimes. But this is like a technical bounce, of course. But I'm saying
recoveries, I mean, it's a difficult game to play. I mean, you know, something like the Azure, I mean, you know, this is a very highly rated chair. You know, and it needed to perform to live up to expectations. It's still trading on a forecast PE of 18. So, you know, when you've got a business going backwards, that high rating suddenly, you know, is untenable. But, you know, when you look at, you know, some of the sort of proper recoveries we've seen, it was Marks & Spencer, you know, fantastic recovery over the last year or so, Rolls Royce, Centrica, you know, what you've actually got there, you know, as you say, it takes many, many years. You find them in a sort of value territory, so they've derated, so the shares are not looking expensive. But as you rightly say, they can sit on, you know, that can remain the case for a very long time. There's a, you know, sort of famous phrase that sort of those interested in value should pay attention to, that is the market can stay irrational, you know, something can stay too cheap for longer than you can stay solvent. So,
this is why I don't see why.
It's a very nuanced game to play.
Yeah, but this is why I don't understand when I talk about fundamentals and technicals, because charts. No, what are you talking about? And fundamentals and technicals are needed together to play good recovery plays. I mean, in proper business, not just technical bounces. I mean, you need both, because you can have like sort of you know, stabilization in the fundamentals and the chart doesn't really go anywhere. You'll keep getting people selling into it because they're down underwater and any bounce they'll, you know, sell into. But look at that. Even today, you know, you do the average here, upside in Diageo, it's 13%.
Yeah, that's based on an analyst forecast. It's,
And
analysts do have
it's
a tendency.
21 analysts. No, 21 analysts. That's not about average. So, and you're talking about the average. This one guy is a couple there who are at 45%, but the average is 13. Minimum is minus 13% or 14%. So to me...
But there you go. If your average is 13, you know, this is share price upside. I mean, what I want to know is what the earnings going to do.
Well, that's based on earnings.
That's the basis upon which I'm going to you know, value something. And, you know, the earnings here are going backwards in 2024, and then they're rising at, let's have a look at EPS, 8% in 25, 6% in 26. How on earth can you justify that very pedestrian rate of growth with a PE of 18.5? That's the disconnect here. So, you know, this one might stay cheap for a while.
Yeah, I think that. I have no compulsion getting there. I looked at JD Sports as well and put a forecast on that, not a huge amount, and I couldn't see a lot of upside. But I look at that forecast and they're higher, and I thought, why? I don't understand on a fundamental basis why that is.
The difference with JD is that it is actually very, very cheap. You know, the shares are, if you're looking at a forecast, you know, 10 times 24 earnings. And yeah, you've got a year of going backwards, but 25. You know, your earnings are forecast to go up 11%, 26 up 16%. So your PEG, your price to earnings growth, looks much more attractive on those. And as I said, you know, my view of JD Sports is that, you know, it has dominant positions in the UK, Europe and North America, but it's really, really yet to penetrate Asia. Whereas Diageo, so there is a massive opportunity there for it. Whereas Diageo is a global business. It has business everywhere.
Yeah, but also, I was hearing an analyst yesterday on CNBC talking about Diageo saying, but they can gain market share, they can just acquire companies. But it's, you know, it's arguable, isn't it? I mean, there's JD Sports, they're saying average there, pretty much of 13 analysts, is 49% up. So it's a bit better. But, you know, it's considering it had a massive fall off. You'd think there'd be more upside than that. But there we are. That can change. The forecast, like the weather forecast, can change. You know, if they start performing, you know, it can change.
The one I've got my eye on as a recovery player is Dr. Martens, I have to say.
Okay.
Because, again, you know, bad year. Had a real, you know, stinker.
Dr. Martens.
Since it's come to market. The rating was frankly ludicrous when it came to market, and remains so for quite some time. But, you know, now again, it's in that JD Sports territory, 11 times 24, 10 times 25 earnings, 9 times 26 earnings. You've got earnings forecast recovering 25, 26. And, you know, once again, it's a sort of, it's a global opportunity, but somewhat underpenetrated and, you know, just a big, powerful brand. That I think, you know, if the shares don't recover, someone will snap it up at some point.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Sky was speaking to the other day about recovery plays, an investment trust manager. You know, it's a management thing often. You know, the catalyst, what is the catalyst for the re-rating? From something that's, you know, you see the business stabilised, but investors don't want to buy a stable business. They want to buy a growing business. Yeah. You know, unless it's churning out big dividends, that is, but it has to generate cash flow to pay them, rather than, you know, paying them out of capital, out of debt, borrowings. So what investors want to see is a catalyst for a re-rating, for business improvement, earnings improvement. Generally speaking, that's a change of management.
Yeah.
You know, you really, it takes a lot of work for new managers to come in, convince the market that they know what they're doing, and then actually deliver on. Often they come in and talk a good game and they don't deliver.
The thing is, to turn the business around is hard. What you have to look at, I think, essentially, is businesses are taking a knock because of the macro environment, but the business model is very good. And when interest rates come down and people, you know, cost of living crisis comes down a bit, it'll revert. And in that time, they've been, you know, actually going on an efficiency program and making the business more efficient. And then when the upcycle happens, there'll be double leverage to that. So they could even go higher than their previous highs. But
this is true. So this goes back to what I was saying the other day. You know, things like building materials, recruiters, you know, they've got themselves in good shape. In what's been a difficult trading period, then when the cycle turns up again, and it will turn up again, you know, these are cyclicals. That's a cyclical type of investing you're talking about. And there's nothing wrong with that. They don't necessarily, just not necessarily ones you hold forever. But yeah, there is definitely a lot of upside in that sort of business.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it recovery. I just call it riding the cycle, you know.
Come on, John.
It's not recovery.
Get with the theme, yeah? Get with the theme, for heaven's sake. You're awkward sod. Right, anyway, listen, Riversoft says, about recoveries are like Rockwood Strategic because they invest in and help turn around companies and have a good short track record. He also has some Pexitone.
That's quite interesting. Let me finish this bit.
He also says, I sold Pexitone bright and early this morning. The profit warning wasn't too bad, just a small share price drop, but I'm guessing there's too much risk of it drifting lower. Okay, go on, John.
No, I was going to say, you know, companies like investment companies like Rockwood Strategic. There are other value focused investors out there. One I suppose you recently called Aurora, a guy called Gary Channon runs that. You know, they have a very value led approach. They bought the house builders, you know, or rather upweighted the house builders exposure right at the bottom of the market. They've got a separate division, for example, that invests in, you know, proper turnarounds, Dignity, Hornby, that sort of thing. But it takes a lot of work, and it takes almost like, for these guys, for these investment trust managers, they are close to management. They are, you know, looking in the whites of their eyes. They're actually, in some cases, almost guiding the strategy. Chris Mills at Harwood Capital, North Atlantic Small, is another example of it's almost an active form of management. But that is a good way to play recoveries, because there is a very, very deep process behind the work that those fund managers do.
I almost bought Hornby, right, recently. And I thought, I can't, because because I saw it was improving. And that's the thing. Is it improving? Now, if that improvement is coming from quite a dodgy base, I mean, talk about generally in companies, this is the thing. If an improvement, and it is improving, is coming from a dodgy base or base where they've been over-leveraged, it can really re-rate. And in fact, Saga's another one like that. Is
Saga.
They're going to be sort of selling their ships and their debt done. But I looked at the figures today, and even though Hornby, that's just crossed its turning moving. I couldn't, because the debt was too big. They're only 23 million in revenue. I think the debt, I can't remember what the debt was, but it was too much. And I thought, no. But remember, debt.
Net borrowing is about 22
forward,
million.
Yeah, if you look forward, you know, the cost of debt will be coming down. So companies with debt, they will re-rate. So maybe it's a play. Yeah. There's a comment here, John. I think it's from your brother, I think. John, it would be great to have you on more than two times a week. I would be really keen to hear your thoughts. In fact, I want to look at this as well. You hear your thoughts on Auction Technology Group that came out today. You mentioned you use it, but have you considered buying the stock? Let's look at the news here.
News. Shares up nearly 20%.
Yeah. So explain what is it? Auction Technology.
ATG.
ATG. Right. Okay. Yeah. As it says, technology for auctions, yeah?
Yeah, and it provides a platform that a lot of auction houses use to manage their online auctions, and it's across a range of countries and a range of, so there's different types of things you can buy at auctions, you know, art and antiques being the obvious ones, but, you know, you can buy anything, so like commercial kitchens, you know, the contents of shops, you know, you can buy restaurant furniture, you can buy almost anything you want at auction. And, you know, what I said the other day is I like the fact their platform is very stable. So when you are using it to bid online, you know, it's there cannot be any, because they've got latency, so there cannot be any delay.
Yeah, you can't.
What's going on in the group. You know, and
there'd be bedlam. Imagine trying to buy something. You're bidding, someone bought it above you, the price above you, and it turns out it's quite, you know, it's worth a lot of money. You'd go livid. Whenever it's about money, you can't mess around. The technology has to be spot on. Yeah.
And what I would say about their platform in that sense, it's very, very stable.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. But the problem is they are, you know, like any kind of company that's leveraged to the consumer economy, and there is that effect. You know, someone buying an auction is probably selling somewhere else. So, you know, so if they're not selling as much, they're not buying as much either. And this has had an impact on this company's share price. It was also very, very highly rated. If you go back and look at the chart, how much it's come down.
The margins are very good, aren't they? But, you know, I remember I did a spreadsheet on it. The margins are very good. As yet, that's not back in an uptrend. I mean, it's Britain 50-day.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not. It needs to subvert. It's a good start there. Very good start. I'll keep an eye on it.
But, you know, I think what you've seen here is a company that was, say, very highly rated, a technology company, you know, listed in the UK. But its earnings growth didn't live up to the expectations of that share price, of that rating. So you know, when that happens as well, the sort of distrust sets in and it takes a long time to reverse that. A good trading update like this is just a start. And you can see, you know, up 18% today, it's just a blip in really that sort of long-term chart. There's other aspects of their technology that I find a bit clunky, but then I have noticed them asking me for feedback about how they can improve their product. So I think they might be on it. I think
when
they might
asking,
be.
When they say asking you, do you mean specifically or users?
Users, but you get.
Oh, I was going to say, John, give us some advice, son.
Yeah, but you know how it is. You get a pop-up saying, what's your experience with this platform? Was there any suggestions you'd like to make? So I think they are aware that it has some shortcomings.
Yeah, well, I think your system glitched. I bought a Van Gogh at £5 the other day, and someone ended up buying it for £3 million. But it was mine at £5. That's how annoyed I am.
I like, you know, I think it's an interesting niche. What I do know is, you know, they haven't got it all to themselves. There are lots of auction houses that choose not to use them or have their own systems in place. But it is possibly as indispensable part of that ecosystem as you can imagine at the moment. It's just got to really deliver the numbers to kind of go with that.
Look at that. It's 655 million market cap, right? And it's a first quarter. So they did, 43. So say they do 45 equals 90, 180 million. So, and the margins are quite good, aren't they? So,
About a 40% EBIT margin.
So that sort of makes it up. But on a price of sales, it's not that accurate there. So it's a little bit pricey. Yeah, it's not cheap, is it? You know?
It's not cheap. It's getting cheap. It's got a lot cheaper. And, you know, at this point, it starts to become attractive.
Yeah, okay. Let's look at the front page here. Vox, what have we got there? Cleantech Lithium moves closer to opening DLE. That's direct lithium extraction. I did chat to Steve Kessler. I thought he was going to America, and they said, can you check Steve Kessler? He sounds American, but he's not. He's British. And just as positive test work, basically been testing. different absorbents. I didn't realize this, you know, the process of finding the right absorbent to get the most extraction, lithium extraction or eluate out of the system. And they found the right absorbent is 95%. And also, it's very low, high purities and all that stuff. So it looks looking good so far. So, John, you've chatted to HVivo. You're a holder of HVivo. Nice little update today, wasn't it, from them?
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic update. I mean, we sort of they telegraphed it in an update. I can't remember if it was just before Christmas, but you know, this is again, it was even better than that. So, you know, I think the highlight for me was the margin expansion. You know, that's pretty quite significant. And what Mo was talking about was essentially it's an operational gearing effect. So then, you know, the more business that goes through their infrastructure, the more profitable it gets. You know, more of it flows through to the bottom line to cash flow. You know, as it flows through the cash flow, they're paying dividends. You know, the cash, we're sitting on bucket loads of cash. And this is even on, you know, there's investments being made in this new facility, which helps their capacity even more. So this is a virtuous circle of a company. And start the year with record order book, 90% of 2004 revenues in the bag. So I mean, my goodness. it's a very impressive company.
Yeah, they're looking for the 2028 target and 100 million pretty much, and they top line.
Yeah, I think they can do all of that through the Canary Wharf facility, but they're looking, you know, because they are so cash generative, they're looking for sort of complementary bolt-on acquisitions as well. So, you know, I mean, like, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but I could see that accelerating.
Yeah, that's the way it'll work. Okay, just telling you, I'll leave that there for next time we talk about it.
All right,
round about that thing, it'll have to come back a little bit, round about the support level, then it'll break new ground there. Of course,
you know, this is what I've been doing though. So, you know, I bought in a little dip before. Yeah. I bought in a little dip again. I'll buy in another dip. Should it come?
Because look at this. What's telling here, right, is that even this is a nice trading update here, it didn't break the previous high. You know, if there is further news, it may do. But so it just shows a little bit of exhaustion price wise. It needs to settle down, get some people out who don't want to be there, and then get some new news, bring some new buyers in, and
new buyers. That's what. Yeah, you're quite right. But again, you know, I mean, you know, this isn't cheap on a headline PE basis.
And it's close to 200 million market cap now, aren't they? Or 197 million, I think they are. Yeah,
but, you know,
most spread as well there.
Their growth certainly this year is you know, way. So the PEG ratio, you essentially compare the price to earnings ratio and the earnings rate of earnings growth. So that on that basis, this company looks cheap. But then you look at a forecast of 24 and 25, and there's virtually no EPS growth factored in.
Yeah.
It's
funny on my fancy stock shares thing today. It's funny seeing, because you can see the trades, the buys and sells on there, right? The amount of people buying that this morning and then selling it straight away, trying to jump on that rise, thinking it's going to keep going up. Trades. That's how people get burned in the real world. When a company does a 10 bagger like that, it's ridiculous. It doesn't happen very often. Don't jump on the back of a company that's just done 10 bags in 4 sessions. It's not going to keep going up after that. It's 1,000% rise. It's like, it's not going to happen. That's going to come. I expect now a little bit of I'd say in a polite way, a bit of consolidation happening there. Most followed, Diageo there. Supreme, of course, came up with a trading update yesterday.
So yeah, I was speaking on the share price there.
Yeah, they're ahead of that. And they said, in fact, I think the forecasts were boosted off the back of it anyway. So it wasn't as bad as they thought.
Well, I think the Supreme, you know, so there were two companies yesterday that were hit by this, really. Chill Brands and Supreme. And, you know, Supreme, you know, we've spoken about it before. Paul Hill has spoken about it quite a lot. But, you know, they've seen this coming. You know, this announcement by the government was really no surprise. And, you know, it's the right thing to do. You know, I know some people say it's knee-jerk, but you know, these sort of disposable vapes that contain, you know, lithium and something, I just, you know, these should not be disposable products. And Supreme has been working hard to get ahead of that. And it's we talked about it.
And the funny thing is, Chill came out in the morning and put their stuff out, the news out, it went straight down. And Supreme didn't do it till later on. And they said, and they thought about it a bit. But of course, two different companies, really, because this is a, you know, proper, a more mature business generating cash and revenue and all that stuff. You know, like I said, adjusted profit before tax of 11 million. Chile's not. It's been loss making for years, you know, so it's nowhere near the level of maturity here.
Yeah.
So, you know, this can be valued properly. And you said, well, it's cheap. And it has been cheap. It is cheap. And, you know, and that was largely down to the worry about regulation. And when they come out and said, this is what we're expecting. And in fact, you know, it doesn't affect our guidance pretty much at all. They played it the right way, I think.
Indeed. What I tell you is their shares are very cheap.
Yeah, something broke out that. It didn't even dip to that. Look at that. Didn't dip to below that. I put a line in months ago, and it didn't dip. It dipped back below that, and then closed up here yesterday. But it's now going to try and break that upper level there. I think they will be. I think they're clever. I think they will be diversifying, and they're already doing that. So into other areas as well. So it's not just vapes, is it? They do other things as well.
Indeed, nutritional products and I think there's batteries part of the group as well. But you know, burning vapes, these disposable vapes make sense, but for environmental reasons. But you know, there are concerns around their attractiveness to young smokers, vapers, whatever you want to call them. But then it, you know, conversely, the government does want people to stop smoking. They do want to make smoking unattractive. So there has to be some form of alternative and you know, some form of vaping would seem to be that. And so there will be a place for these products as long as those products are marketed in the right way and, have a minimal impact on the environment. And so, you know, you think that Supreme's in the right place.
And the thing is, it's so easy to get around. Literally, all they have to have is a USB port at the bottom of the thing, and that's it. They're now reusable.
Yeah,
that's it. So it's not a big hurdle, really. I mean, Elf Bar and was it Lost Mary? What they call it, Bloody Mary? Long ago, the other ones, the most popular ones. They literally have to make them rechargeable. That's all done. I mean, they do that in China for no cost whatsoever, because that's where they come from, isn't it? Those two. Do you know what? Another one, in fact, that's been hammered, diversified energy, but. But Argentex, so I'm always worth looking at this guy. I was in this a while back. I did quite well. I got out, just started getting weaker. And all of a sudden, very odd this. I mean, sometimes, not always, the chart does act before the fundamentals. Because I said, I got in here, Golden Cross, literally went there. And suddenly I was sold. And it literally kept coming down. And then the CFO has gone, CEO is gone, lack of revenue. But they are saying now, and this is a could be a good turnaround play, because the levels of, I mean, if you see what they said today, and what's the market cap? If we look at the market cap on Argentex, let's look what they say first. So they changed their, what muddied the waters a little bit, they changed the end of year, which is always annoying. So the last set of results was only 9 months, wasn't 12 months. So everyone was comparing that the previous 12 months, that's not very impressive, but there was still a little bit of growth. But if you compare it, now they're saying if you go back to 2022, it's going to be similar to that. It's going to be top line 49 million of revenue and profit not less than 8 million compared to 11 in. So it's gone down a little bit, but they had plenty of cash. And I think now it's worth watching this because this is an operating profit of 8 million. They got no debt. So, you know, into that, what is it? 8 times 8 is 60. What's that? 8, 7, 8, pretty much. On operating profit, I mean, not P. But so it's not, you know, they can grow now. That's a good business because they got a decent amount of cash last time I looked and no debt.
Maybe. So, maybe. I think what you want to see is, you know, so they've brought in new management, new CFO. You know, there were a lot of initiatives to kind of overcome challenging market conditions, which didn't seem to have worked. And so they brought in a new CFO. So with a change of management, you know, you want to understand where they plan to address some of the recent weakness. So, you know, it's really a question of, like, what have they got to say, really, beyond the statement that will give us the reassurance that they have a turnaround plan. And that's why I say, you know, this is fallen deeply out of favour.
Look at that. I mean, some of that is restricted. Some of that cash is restricted, but they got 32 million in cash. So they got a decent amount of cash to play with. I mean, if you look in this area, of course,
cash can be wasted.
It can. But you think the growth they had previously, it's almost good products. I mean, there's been a competition in the market. And of course, Cornerstone FS, if you want to go to a smaller company that's growing seemingly now, then, you know, take your pick. But trouble is, Cornerstone has already risen very quickly, you know, CSFS. And so you're thinking, what do I go for? Do I take my time and wait for some, you know, updates from. I would definitely wait, obviously, Argentex. I mean, Argentex is a downtrend, that's an uptrend. Definitely wait for a, you know, the final results, so you can dig through it all. Then it's going to take a while after that. Like I said, these things, when you see companies, businesses that could be a good business going forward, falling out of bed for a bit, generally, you know, it does take, you know, a year, yeah, pretty much. It, you know, people jump in on these spike downs. I think don't do that, because they often rally and revisit them, you know, definitely, if they haven't improved massively. That's operationally.
Big shareholder comms required on this one, I would say.
Yeah, Oxford Cannabinoid is raising money.
They don't ever worry about speaking to people. There's no shortage of investor comms that comes from Oxford Cannabinoids. You just looked. I looked at the last set of numbers. They desperately needed money.
Yeah, exactly.
You see that one kind of
Saga. I know they're swimming in debt, aren't they? And there's rumours they're selling one of their cruise liners, and they did rally on that. I don't know where they are at them. A few days back, there was at Sunday. The guy from Sky really look at that. So look at how he's come down from like 30 quid down to 147. Now, if they do offload one of the, I think this could be a good play. Considering that, you know, the trouble is, it's like they are a company and the ocean is their debt. And that's it, their cruise liner and the ocean's debt. So growth of 10-15%, underlying profit before tax, more than double that of the prior year. But ocean cruise revenue expected to grow. So they're going to sell, I think. The idea is sell their cruise line and lease it back, so they get a decent chunk of cash. So they still have that. Yeah.
I'll say it and lease back. Say the lease back can go wrong. The retail industry did it for years. It was one of the things that got M&S in a bit of trouble. You know, they had all this wonderful freehold property, which they're advised to sell. But then the property, you know, because it raises cash. But it doesn't matter, because then they've got to pay the rent. So actually, you know, you had all these changes set to accounting rules that meant, you know, this sort of property, not debt, but, you know, the sort of liabilities, you know, wasn't on their balance sheets. Now it is. So, you know, it's...
Look at that.
It net still debt. Costs some money to lease a boat.
Yeah. Net debt, it does. Yeah, net debt of 657 million. Net debt. 657 million. They are 208 million market cap. That is worrying. That could literally sink, you know. So it's one of those ones that it's a high risk play. But if they get, I mean, if they do something with it, reduce that debt, then seemingly the business isn't too bad beneath it. But at the moment, they can't move for debt, and that's it. You know, they're drowning it. Mm-hmm. So they need a lifeline, and I can't extend this analogy any further, but they need a lifeline in order not to drown.
Don't forget, they're also an insurance company.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would have thought.
Insure themselves.
Well, you would have thought, you know, that this company, you know, and it was a stock market darling, because Saga, you know, was its demographic is older people. And, you know, those older people tend to have more disposable income. You know, they've paid off the mortgage, the kids are left home. And, you know, it had an open goal here. Obviously, COVID affects the cruise business, but. It's never capitalized on the strength of its brand since coming to market.
Yeah. Okay. Michael says, I got into HVivo at the opening today after a trading update notification delivered to my phone when I woke up. Thanks, Vox. That's all right, Michael. Hope you didn't go too big there, because when you fear missing out because it rallied a bit, you know, go very small to start off with. And then, you know, if it goes in the right direction.
It was actually the update to the price. I was watching the price today. So not something I usually do. But it, you know, it sort of started at about up 4%, then up 5%, then up 6%. So, you know, it wasn't a spike and drop. This has kept rising throughout the day.
Yeah. Hirash says, John always looks like he's on after just beating someone up. You got a black bomber jacket, right? Just been out sorting a guy out around the back. Right, let's get on with it. Yeah. The difference between Helium 1 and... Informer, stop going about cryptocurrency. I'm not interested in that. Listen, there are plays you can do on the stock exchange that are exposed to cryptocurrency, you know? And literally, they're a bit more transparent, you know, as in you can check out their, you know, earnings and stuff. In fact, UK retail is rubbish, though. 10 or 11 PE is fair price for things like Dr. Martin. Yeah, I think
it's not UK retail. Dr. Martin isn't UK retail. It's partly UK retail.
What is it? What is it then? A brand?
Which is a global. It's a product. It sells products. It, I mean, yes,
yeah,
it has.
Yeah, stock, yeah, but it sells but via retail.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it. That's the same as saying like Unilever is a retailer.
No, but they're more diversified. Dr. Martens sell boots. That's all they sell. They're going to be hammered if they people don't want to spend 200 quid on a pair of boots.
Which is why they are being hammered. But the things change, and you know. Yeah. You know, consumer discretionary income incomes will recover.
Yeah,
I'm not saying you know by now it's on my watch list. They had a good bounce up spike up the other day on a trading update. So you know, the bottom might be in there, but they're not a retailer. They're far from a retailer.
Well, they are sort of, Johnny. But you, don't give yourself they're not. I mean, the fact that they are, that's why they've been hammered, because they are a retailer.
No,
they're overvalued.
Okay, but then that's said Burberry are a retailer, or you know, Burberry are a brand owner.
Burberry take the hammering too. Yeah, Burberry take the hammering too. I mean, they do have that generation agnostic brand. In fact, I'd say they're better than Burberry. Actually, Burberry is a bit more age specific. I think Dr. Martin spans the generations pretty much. You know, it does. He has got that brand. Yeah, it has. Mm. But still, when you're selling boots for 200 quid. They are, and people are, you know, can't afford to pay their rent or mortgage, then literally it's not the kind of thing you've got spending on, is it, really? Alcohol consumption, this is Kinnicky, alcohol consumption is going down in the younger age groups, so Diageo has got problems ahead. True, yes. There's a guy who's trying to defend that on CNBC. Didn't make a good argument at all, I thought, and I wasn't, in fact, it made me more convinced that he was wrong.
I think I thought it was interesting in this day. One thing I thought was very positive, Guinness sales are absolutely booming. What I hadn't realised was one of the reasons for that is more women are taking up Guinness drinking.
Yeah. Well, Ireland literally won the Six Nations last year and then got close to win the World Cup. So I suppose so maybe people are drinking more of that. I don't know.
It's meat in a glass. You know, plenty of iron in there.
Yeah. Matthew says Supreme, some bounce and RNS yesterday. Lots of people egg on face selling at 18.99 pence when they realise RNS. Yeah. Saga struggling on the insurance side. Oh, they're struggling as well on that side. Okay. Argentech's update includes, however, market conditions have remained challenging and there have been a number of costs which had not been anticipated previously. Yeah. So always that however would. Sometimes just go for just do a fine for however. Dabble a small bit. Fox could be saying that in Daily Crypto comment. I don't want the Daily Crypto comment info. So there's a couple of other things. I want to. What I look at there. In fact, do you know what? It's an interesting bit here. This is probably the least. I think we should have a least sexy RNS title, right? This goes to Great Western Mining today. And it's literally positive Sol and grab results. I can't think of anything. Everyone gets excited by that. But they are. It's up 43%. Wow. So this is has positive Sol and grab results. So there's copper and Sol.
That's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah. That's not the kind of thing that ticked, you know, floats my boat. In fact, Synectics had a nice little thing. I'm sorry, SNX. This is a company, right, that I think, honestly, do their hardware and software, they're extending their software side, software service. I liken to Journey a little bit, but it's what nice, they've extended their agreement, framework agreement with National Grid. Additional contracts valued at $4 million. Now, that's quite, but you know, when you literally are a 28 million market cap, that's quite significant, you know, and they're going to be, if you look at the metrics in there, they're not too bad. They are improving. So all those companies literally took a bit of a hit in the downturn, but I think they are improving now. The recovery is on. I think it's on. Falling down, Deutsche Island, what is it, Bishop Mine, Speedy Hire. Did you see that?
Yeah, sure, it's a horrible state.
What the heck's going on there? Why am I being served these adverts? Ann Summers now? I do not ever look at Ann Summers, ever.
I thought what Andrew or sir, it's very dependent on your browsing history, aren't they, Jess?
No, it's not. No, no. I've never, ever been to Ann Summers' website. In fact, I just had cruise lines. So here we are. So the trading update, business continued to perform resilient. Spot the negatives in there. Velocity strategy, net debt. Oh, there we are. We continue to make good progress with the implementation of our velocity strategy. Bet they sat down and knocked that out in the boardroom. They were very pleased with themselves. And we got a strategy called velocity. So they've got net debt has increased. So hang on, is velocity going in the wrong direction? Because you want to bring that down, guys, regardless of what you call it. deliver benefits of our opportunity speed here. Nevertheless, the weakness in some of our end markets and seasonal product lines and some delays in mobilization of significant economies. The board expects full year.
Yeah, so it's tough.
Below.
Construction is tough, but again, this is it's part of that cycle. It's why I've said, you know, I do think there's bad news out there that's not getting some share prices, because, you know, the economy has been weak, certain sectors, house building, you know, remains weak. And there was someone else today that had some news around that. I can't remember.
Oh, look at that. I just want to put that on the watch list for a recovery, because when it recovers, that's going to know nicely, because 84.29.
But the point is that, you know, these are where you're going to see that cyclical upswing.
Yeah.
You know, as long as they are getting their businesses, as you rightly pointed out, Justin, in shape now, when times are tough, when the upswing does come, and there is going to be significant investment in infrastructure. There has to be, not just by governments, but by companies. Well, there is still a housing shortage in the UK.
Yeah.
There's still crumbling bridges in the US. So, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be built. And, when the swing comes, the construction sector is the place. But we are seeing some sort of that signs of life in certain, sort of building materials distribution.
And I'm biased, though. It's myself, though. The skin tight. In fact, I must lie, John. That's what I'm wearing. That's why they keep serving me these ads. Right now, I'm wearing a pair of these. Can you imagine that going on below me? This is a company getting trading updates. Microlise. Excellent ticker. Software as a service. That's a ticker. And they are software as a service. Up 18% a day. So just because they are 140 million market cap. I don't know. I think they rose a lot higher. I thought, okay, full year revenue growth, 13%. Okay. Organic, 12%. AR growth, 11%. EBITDA, up 14%. It's all kind of improving. Mm. But I don't see why they jumped like 20% and they're 170 million market cap.
Illiquid.
Nevertheless.
Look at the share price. Look at the share price, Scott.
Yeah. It is actually, yeah, I was looking at it, and it's, where is it, SAAS. So it's one of the things for the watch list, but if you look at it, the reason why it's very bitty is because there's lack of liquidity there, essentially, and,
but it's fine, buying something that's illiquid is fine, and, unless you're in a hurry to sell it,
because that would inevitably
be at the same time as everybody else wants to, and, Trying to get into an illiquid stock, you're going to have to end up paying a little bit more. But actually, it's on an improving trajectory. Software as a service is unlocks a lot of profit potential in businesses that are shifting to those models. We see Fintel, today they call it distribution service on the sort of fund distribution kind of thing. So it is there's a nice little software as a service sector in the UK. And it does have this ability to lift profits, and maybe the market's just catching up to it now.
I was looking at those. I literally filled out a spreadsheet, and there was a few weeks back. I'm sure it was. And all of a sudden, I kept my eye off. I didn't put an alert on it. The chart's done very well. It's gone from 2 quid to 2.5. Yeah. I didn't see that happening. What are they? So it was in this sort of range here, and it couldn't get above like 2.20. It did it. There, 220, and that's obviously a breaker. You put an alert there. I didn't put an alert on it, which is silly for me. I got alerts on everything. But but it has come back.
It's traveled
a bit, and obviously news came out. So
It's sort of it's in build mode, I would say.
I think once
it's built, what it's building, in its entirety, it was the sort of fintech back end to the retail financial services. This is gonna have a dominant position in the UK market. I'll be looking at that fallback with interest.
There's also Location Sciences as relaunched. They've acquired a company. I had a company bond. Look at that. Shop prices rose at the slowest rate. Go on.
Oh no, I was going to say one company we haven't mentioned. Videos falling off time. It's a company that I spoke to earlier in the week. Last week. Tertre Rouge Assets. And I like this.
Ooh.
He really is going to like this. It's basically, they're a classic car investor. So it's a listed cash shell. They spent the last 18 months buying six ultra premium classic cars, heritage cars, the Mona Lisas of the classic car world. And they've got some serious talent, business talent, motor racing talent behind this, but also business talent, because those guys tend to be really pretty switched on. David Coulthard, Mika Hakkinen, Andre Arlo is the car buyer.
The Coulthard are involved in this, are they?
Yeah, it's I really, it was a great chat. I really loved hearing about this guy. I love classic cars. Just haven't got the money to own one. But now I've actually got a little, you know, you can buy a share of some of the world's best cars and some of the businesses around this industry. So, yeah, worth a look at that video. I think this is definitely one worth keeping an eye on.
As they bought a 1972 Lamborghini Miura P40 SV for a consideration of $3.25 million.
Mm. The most expensive car is a 1971 Ferrari F1 car, Scuderia. But yeah, have a look at the video. It's on the video page.
I will.
It's worth a look. They're fascinating guys.
Yeah, I'd like if they had in there like a Ford Sierra 1982.
Ah, well, you jest.
That'd be great.
You jest, but the 80s and 90s are where the next set of ultra-premium heritage cars are going to come from, according to Andre Arlo.
Okay, Ford Capri. Three-litre Ford Capri. My father, one of those, is literally black. And we were driving, maybe to my cousins, and we were driving through Pontypool, right? And it's a summer's day, and this was brand new, or it's 6 months old. And it's the first one out, first 3 litre Capri. And it did, in the end, go down later stages, went to 2.8 injection. But 3 litre Ford Capri, all in black, with sporty wheels. And we drove past this pub with all these young kids in the summer, and they were all looking at it. Look at that! It's a Ford Capri. It's all black, with sleek with those smallers.
I would like one, but I wouldn't like to see the... how much it costs to drive it.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, back to more mundane things. Shop prices rose at the slowest rate in more than 18 months in January. They're down to 2.9%. Also, slowest rate in January. Look at that. Some 86 million more lunchboxes were taken to work in 2023 as people sought to manage budgets more closely. Wow. Lunchboxes, eh? And look at this. This is a misdirection. This is a bit disingenuous. England, Wales sees most company insolvencies since 1993. What? That's dreadful. But hang on. Turns out there's more companies than there was in 2008, 2009. So the percentage isn't higher, but the amount of companies is. So if you look at it, 25,000 companies. But it said last year, 53.7 companies went insolvent out of 10,000. Out of every 10,000 trading, that was up from 49. In 2008, 2009, it's almost double. That was 94.8 companies out of every 10,000 in 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
So it is bad, but that headline makes you think like it's the worst ever since 1993. It's bad, but it's not as bad as the great financial crash. There. And I think we're coming out of it now, I think. And in fact, if you look at this, I haven't shown you, John, I want to show this, just lastly, quickly, indices. AMOL share, right? It has done it. It's literally back above that, hasn't done that for a long time. The bonds are coming down as well. I've seen a couple of mortgage rates go back up for some reason. I think they've come down too fast. But bonds yesterday were all coming down. And so, there we are, all coming down, just 5-year, that's 2-year, rolling over now. We've had that little rally because it came up off very quickly, the 2-year yield. Now it's bounced, the 50-day moving average, and now it maybe tests this low again. So that'll be good. And we'll know about that Thursday. They'll really move on Thursday. So, of course, we've got the Fed, we've got the Bank of England coming out with it. They won't reduce interest rates, but they may see from old Bailey there, suggestion that it's going to happen sometime in the future. I think. What do you think?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be interesting to see what he said. If he starts talking about them, because as yet he's bloody said no, it's too early to start talking about that. And he may say now, oh yeah, we can start talking about that now. And if he does, I think we could have a good day on Thursday. The markets. I think it may be back to that vaccine day explosion where the markets jump up a little bit, and come down, but go back up again then. But anyway, there we are.
Mm.
By all means, everyone, thank you very much for tuning in. Justin, I follow AI and I keep seeing an ad for AI girlfriend. Worse than Ann Summers? Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I don't know why I'm getting Ann Summers, but...
Don't keep going on about it.
No, do you know what? Question. John, do you know what yesterday, last week, you talked about something that happened, right? I went to screenshot it. After what were we talking about? And I said, look, the cars are on there. We were talking about something, right? I think it was even... No, I don't remember what it was. But literally, it came up an advert exactly directed... on the beach. Literally, on the beach was an advert on YouTube after. I thought, what? That is crazy. I know they've got a marketing campaign going on, but we were talking about on the beach all the time. And then it was almost the main advert sponsor of the YouTube channel. I thought, that's... Come on. That's very clever. How do they do that?
Anyway. Yeah. Well, now you're going to be inundated with yeah. Christmas-themed lingerie.
Yes, yeah. Or even Lamborghinis now. Lamborghinis now, you know.
I'll have the Lamborghinis.
Yeah, or Ford Capris. thanks, everyone. Don't forget to hit that thumbs-up button if you could, you know, and subscribe. If you haven't subscribed yet, you tune in. Subscribe. Come on. Come on. And if you could, go to voxmarkets.co.uk/app and download the Vox Markets app. I talked to a friend about glitter bow ties, and then I got an advert on one. Be informal, that's better than the crypto chat, or crypto chat. Thank you very much. Cheers, John. Speak on
the
phone.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.